Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Wendy's Big Show live from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street. We got $5 wing baskets watching the NCAA tournament. We got $4 Grey Goose, $4 Bacardi, Cazadores, $2 beers, $3 imports. It is a great place to be hanging out watching the game. Wendy's Big Show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger Packer, running back myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Touch, live here from 2 to 6. Come hang out, watch some college basketball. It's a College Basketball Friday with the Wendy's Big Show. And guys, we were still on the air yesterday while Marquette was being, for lack of a better term, undressed out in Hartford, Connecticut, as they get boat raced by the racers of Murray State and John Morant. We're going to get a little bit more into what John Morant did for himself, Gary, yesterday in that yes. Marquette game. But he did something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people didn't know a lot about him early on. Mm-hmm. I think I talked about him about a month ago. I don't think people knew about him a month ago. But I think right now you've got to know what this young kid's all about. I think he made some money, a lot of money. Moved up, I think, big time in the draft.
He definitely gave himself an opportunity to be one of those top three picks and be in that conversation for the next couple of months. And John Morant, a really, really cool story. We'll get into that more in the 4 o'clock hour. Get a bunch of Packers talk in here. Also, Steve Wojciechowski. Yikes, as you're starting to look at his predecessor, Buzz Williams, the 4 seed, Virginia Tech going to get going here in a couple of hours or so. But, Sparky, what Wojo did yesterday in that sense, just not being able to keep up with a team from the Ohio Valley, there's a lot of issue in Marquette land with a lot of alumni that I've talked to in the last couple of days with a job that Wojo's done here in the last few years.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, if you look at the first 5 years, he doesn't stack up very favorably to Tom Crean in his first 5 years or Buzz Williams in his first 5 years. That is a problem. That just is. That is a problem that they have to figure out. Now, with the recruiting class that they have coming in, these younger guys getting a little bit older next year, you assume Marcus Howard is back next year. I saw one person tweet that he thinks that Marquette will be a top 5 team next year. Mm. Okay.
They were a top 10 team this year. I mean, it's tough to remember.
And they fell apart at the end of the year.
Right. You lose 6 of your last 7. It's easy for people to forget what you did earlier on in the year. That was a team that at one point had knocked off 3 consecutive 12th ranked teams in the country, all at 5-serve form. And they had a great year, but fall short. Game 1 in the NCAA tournament. Badgers getting going in about an hour and a half from right now as they take on the Oregon Ducks. But last night, your pro basketball team, Sparky, not even on the floor, but they locked down their first Central Division title in the Eastern Conference in 19 years. And as I'm going through Twitter, I'm going through Facebook, talking to people last night, talking to people this morning, it just didn't seem like people understood that that was cool. What does that do for you, winning the Central Division? Obviously, you're sitting at the one seed, but how big of a deal can winning a Central Division title be for the Milwaukee Bucks right now?
I don't know. I think as a fan base, you should be excited about this. They haven't done it since, what, 2001? It's not like this team wins divisions year in and year out like the Packers do. They don't even win divisions as much as the Brewers do, for God's sake. So you should be excited about this. Now, I realize because you're so good as a team right now that you're focused on the one seed and not losing the one seed and trying to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. So maybe you take your eye off the ball a little bit and not aren't sure. focused on the smaller prizes along the way. But this is a prize I think that everybody expected at the beginning of the year to win this division. They were able to win the division, stay relatively healthy until the last couple of weeks, and get a job accomplished. You know, I saw people, should they hang a Central Division banner at the arena? Yes. Should they do this or do that? Because a lot of people don't want them to. A lot of people don't want them to hang a Central Division banner. That's not good enough.
Should only hang
Eastern Conference Championship banners or NBA Finals banners. That's it. A lot of people think it's stupid. A lot of people don't care that they won the division. I'm just telling you right now, you wait.
That's crazy.
You're going to open up the phone lines here and you watch. A bunch of people aren't going to think it's a big deal. And I think this is going to be a demo thing. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I think a lot of the older people will think this is a big deal. And I think a lot of the 30s and 20s and younger won't care about it.
Okay. I guess I understand that. But in that same vein, a lot of people in the older generations got to see the Bucks win a lot of Central Division titles, or division titles, I should say, back in the 80s. The Marcus Johnson teams, who Mark is going to be honored this weekend at Fiserv Forum, get his number A retired. But it feels like you should be understanding, maybe for the younger generation, and speaking I know for myself, that I haven't seen this since I was going to school. I was in kindergarten when the Bucks won their last Central Division title. And also, Gary, that same year they go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and maybe it is something that we've had going on the big show. And 414-799-1250, you want to join the conversation here. How big of a deal is the Bucks winning the Central Division in the Eastern Conference? Still sitting as the one seed, you're lined up to have home court advantage. But, Gary, maybe it's because of the last time the Bucks won a Central Division title, you also went to the conference finals, and now people are just saying, well, you better not screw it up at this point. Let me know next time that's going to happen.
That's absolutely absurd, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier about how I just don't know how Bucks fans feels like they feel entitled. I mean, I don't know if it's entitlement the word. It just feels weird to me. They haven't won anything, and in a long time. I mean, you're really consistent. Winning as an organization was really with Don Nelson, and you didn't win an NBA championship at that point, but you were always in. I mean, you were right there. I mean, I still think that is something good, but I just don't, and I agree with Steve. It just felt like to me there weren't a whole lot of buzz about this division title that they won. I mean, I think people could care less, which goes back to what I've been saying all along, is that I think Bucks fans, they're just not necessarily waiting for the other shoe to drop, but they're comfortable and they're waiting for the playoffs like they've been here forever. They're not celebrating anything. It is a truly odd feeling.
Didn't we get past this with the Brewers? Like we took phone calls.
I don't know if it ever felt like this with the Brewers.
Because we took phone calls on the postgame show last year with the Brewers, right? And everybody was pushing for the division title, and it meant something. Maybe because the Cubs were still in the division and they won a title
probably
a couple of
tight.
Years ago. That could be it.
Yes.
But you're looking at, in St. Louis, the Brewers clinch a playoff spot, and it was a week before, Sparky, the division was still going to be a possibility for you to actually have a real celebration. Mm-hmm. And people were questioning if the team should be popping bottles of champagne and celebrating going to the playoffs. I mean, you need to celebrate any opportunity you can in pro sports, because it just doesn't happen that much.
Well, the Bucks didn't celebrate going to the playoffs that I know of when they clinched. They were the first one to clinch. And I don't think there was any celebration from them going to the playoffs. Now, again, more teams get in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's not like Major League Baseball. It's not as difficult, you could say, because half the league makes the playoffs, where it's different in Major League Baseball. But, yeah, I remember that scenario that you laid out. And the other thing, too, is if LeBron James is still with the Cavaliers, this is a bigger deal. It just is. But because there's nobody in this division that anybody outside of Indiana, and I don't really think many Bucks fans respect Indiana either, especially without Oladipo, I just don't think anybody views it as a big accomplishment. You didn't knock off the Giant because the Giant's not in the division anymore. He's long gone. So they look at the rest of the division and go, well, yeah, it's a garbage division. You better win this division when you have the MVP of the league. And maybe that's how it was in Cleveland for all those years with LeBron.
Where, sure.
Yeah, we won the division.
I get
cares?
That.
And nobody cares about that. But for me as a fan, having not seen the Bucks win a division in almost 20 years, it's a big deal for me. Yeah.
And the host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, the longest running postgame show in this city. I mean, you were doing postgame shows, Sparky, when this team won 15 games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if they go 8 of their last 10 here, they win 60 games in 2018, 2019.
Stupid. And I remember the Fear the Deer year when they went to the playoffs and John Hammond was the general manager. And
yep.
John Hammond said, you know, it was a nice run. Happy for the fans that they got to experience it, you know, being in the playoffs and losing. But really, you don't really arrive until you start stacking 50-win seasons. That's really when you arrive. So the Bucks are getting their first one now. Can they start to stack them now going forward? And according to John Hammond, he goes, that's really when a team really has arrived as, okay, they're legit. They're going to be here every year. Now you got to be serious about it. So this is the first one. And as we all know, this summer is going to be interesting to see what it looks like next year.
414-799-1250. You want to join the conversation here on the Wendy's Big Show, live from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street. We got the wings that Gary Ellerson has already tapped into twice already.
It's going to be twice in a minute.
It's going to be twice in a minute. Okay. Yeah. So you're pacing yourself at this moment?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you got to do when you come to these kind of establishments. You can't forget that you got to work.
This man walks into Element Lounge and goes, hey, where the wings at? Where the wings at? And right away, it was like clockwork. They dropped him in grease,
well,
and they were right on over here.
Our good guy Will over here, you got that on video, Will? Where you put it up at so the folks can
see
it?
Yeah, we're
– huh?
Facebook and Instagram. Perfect. 105.7 FM, The Fan. You got to see Gary Ellerson walking in here. And Badger beanie on, ready to rock and roll. Badgers,
that's right.
Kicking off here in a couple, tipping off in a couple of minutes.
It could be
Sorry,
a tip off.
I apologize if anybody gets upset about that. It's the NCAA tournament. It's a college basketball Friday with the Wendy's Big Show out here at Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street. $5 wing baskets, $4 Grey Goose, Bacardi, Cazadores, $2 beers, $3 imports. We're gonna be hanging out here till 6 o'clock. 414-799-1250 right now, and live at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Is just how big of a deal is the Bucks winning a Central Division title for you, a Bucks fan that's been suffering for 19 seasons since they've gotten one. Wendy's Big Show back after this, but first some messages from Pella Windows and Doors and my friend Gary Ellerson.
No, we're talking about what's a big deal. Let me tell you what's a big deal. My good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, guys, the 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months, no payment until June of 2020. 0% financing. 0% down for 18 months, no payment until June of 2020. And here's why that's a big thing, guys. You've got a year and a half before you pay the bill while saving on your energy. I mean, that is, to me, is just absolutely outstanding. A year and a half. Zero. I don't think you heard me. 0% down.
A year and a half?
0% financing for 18 months, no payment until June of 2020. Guys, experience the Pella difference. When you work with Gina Della from Pella, you work with her and her entire team, and they're there to make sure your job runs smoothly. The Pella team installs year-round, so call them at 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600, or go to PellaWI.com. Ask for the zero down. 0% financing, zero payments, folks, for 18 months. That is a year and a half before you have to pay your bill. That's absolutely awesome. And also, anybody who mentions me and visit the showroom and calls appointment, they will receive a $200 voucher.
Whoa, okay.
A $200.
Cold hard cash.
If you mention my name, you will receive, on top of the 0% financing, on top of the 0% down, no pay. You will receive a $200 voucher by mentioning that you heard it from me, Gary Ellison, or Leroy Butler. Go see him right now. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wendy's Big Show from Element Lounge. The Bucks are Central Division champions, but do you care? Wendy's Big Show from Element Lounge on The Fan. Lounge, 618 North Water Street. It's College Basketball Friday. Bucky getting going at 3:30 out at the SAP Center in San Jose. They'll take on the Oregon Ducks. That's going to be a very pro-Oregon crowd. I can tell you that right now by the amount of alumni that they have in the Bay Area for the Ducks. Also, Nike has a very large, I don't know if it's a corporate office or a factory out in San Jose in the Bay Area, so there's going to be a lot of Duck alumni out in the Bay Area. But the Badgers got the Ducks at the Bradley Center a couple of years ago. So in that
turnabout's fair play, right?
Right, yeah. So in that sense, you know, now the shoe's on the other foot, and we'll see what Bucky is able to do against those Oregon Ducks who come in winning 8 in a row. Badgers, Gary, as you've said, they are the
same old Badgers.
Okay. There it is.
So, and we don't get into the Marquette. Marquette may have that same mantra as well.
Oh man. Okay. All right. I guess if we're going to go same old Marquette, we can do that. We'll go into that conversation a little bit later in the 3 o'clock hour. But right now at 414-799-1250 live at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 105.7 FM, The Fan, Facebook and Twitter. We like it when you add us. We're out here at Edelman Lounge. The Bucks are Central Division champions. They lock it up last night as the Warriors beat the Pacers. Sparky, Bucks don't even have to do it on the floor. News came in right around midnight last night, and didn't really seem like too many people were all that excited.
Michael tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan, divisions don't matter in basketball. It's all about the conference. Ben tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan, it's a fine thing. Credit to their hard work, but I wouldn't hang the banner. To do so would make the organization look small time, in my opinion. Oh,
but don't they already have banners up celebrating the division champions?
Yeah, they do.
That they have already?
I think they do. Don't they, Steve?
I don't remember.
I think, well, somebody can call and let us know, but I think that they do already have division banners hanging. Yes.
I mean, like, at least you have it, like, in one banner and you add the number.
But
like,
I get
you
what.
And add the season.
Listen, I get what they're saying. Now, because.
Yeah, see, I don't.
Well, because Mike McCarthy and them never hung division banners. Never. But Minnesota did 1 year, and so did the Bears 1 year when they won it. Because they hadn't won it in a long time. And so they were trying to build success. They were trying when, and I'm not trying to compare them because I think once upon a time, the Packers were in the same boat where they were trying to build success. I think when you're trying to build success, you're stacking on top of one another. You have to recognize your accomplishment along the way. Now, when you're in the thing, you start winning NBA championships and you start going and being relevant every
sure,
year.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things no longer exist, but you're not Cleveland back when they had LeBron. You're not Golden State. You're trying to get there. I think it's important to build or show the successes you have and build upon that. You're not saying as an organization that you're satisfied. You're just acknowledging what you've accomplished. I mean, at least that – I think – and maybe Steve would disagree with it, but I think they're at two different places as an organization of where they're trying to go.
And sure, but
– when you've never had success, you have to recognize your success.
And it – fair point, but these owners, I mean, if you want to really turn a new leaf, this is a new organization. I understand that you've been an organization for 50 years. You're celebrating how many years of basketball in the city of
Milwaukee. Well, how about this? I want to cut you off. What do we see out in the outfield at Maryville?
Yeah,
what's out there?
American Family Fields, Phoenix. A big banner saying the 2018 Central Division champions. Because it's tough.
That's what
we
saw.
But as it's pointed out on here, what? In baseball it's about divisions, in basketball it's not, is what this one guy said on here. So I'm just saying, from the perspective of a lot of these people.
Do you think it's different?
Not for me, no.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, I'm with you. No. Living to Dream tweets at The Fan, one seed is all that matters. That's what he says. Matt says, it's cool, but the divisions have been so de-emphasized in the NBA over the last decade. It's not as big of a deal as it once
was. See, that's not true because these folks are not looking at overall. They're not looking at – you need to look at your organization, not the NBA. What has your organization accomplished in the last 10 years?
And what he's talking about is the NBA decided that if you win a division, that doesn't guarantee you home court anymore.
So right, I get that.
Once you did that, then you de-emphasized essentially what has been going on in the NBA before. Even if you had a sub-500 record and you won your division, you got a top-4 seed in the NBA. They said enough is enough, no more. Now it's going to be the 4 best records in the conference that end up having that home court advantage.
Which, simply, I just disagree with. I disagree with the principle of it because
sure.
It's the same thing in the NFL. I mean, you can see a team win a division out in the NFC West. I feel like we've seen it like 5 times in the last 15 years. Somebody wins the division being 8-8. Or 9-7, and there's a wild card team that's 11-5. I mean, it's just simply how the game is played. If you're going to win your division, you're going to be in the playoffs, and you should have the opportunity to celebrate a title. Matt's in South Milwaukee. He's next up on The Fan. Matt, does a division title mean anything to you as a Bucks fan?
I think it does because I think you have to look at the check marks you have at the beginning of the year, and the first check mark is could get into the playoffs check, and then you have to look at the next check mark, be the best in your division check, and then kind of go on like that. I think you guys kind of hit the point that these are, well, if you compare basketball playoffs to baseball playoffs, it's all about the seedings. No, people seem to not care about the who's the division winner. It's, are you the number one seed or the number two seed or that? Whereas in baseball, the division winner is means something. And in basketball, it's all about your seeding. But yeah, I think when you go down to and you check mark everything at the beginning of the season, I think being the best in your division definitely is one of the check mark things that you have to go down.
Appreciate the call. And Gary, I think that's what you were saying is when you're on a team on the come up and you're trying to play in the big leagues year in and year out, this is the first step. The first step is getting the merchandise sale from clinching a division and selling division title T-shirts.
Right.
The slow build that you have to be a program, be an organization, be a team that is going to be consistently at the top. You got to go through these rings, and then hopefully you skip a couple in the playoffs, and you can mess around in the Eastern Conference Finals or maybe even the NBA Finals.
And that's what it's all about. It's stacking progress. It's building success. And I think you have to acknowledge it, but this is just strange to me. I just think that Bucks fans, and Steve is right, it's a whole – we're dealing with a whole new demographic of people, and the Bucks fans are a little – they skew probably a little younger.
I would say so.
And
NBA in general does, yes.
Yeah, and they don't get what was passed. I mean, Steve was doing this show for a long time, and I don't even think they knew Steve was doing this for like 15 years. You know what I mean? I mean, their success is success of now. Success of last couple years feels like maybe. I mean, I don't know if they get down with what the struggles were all about with the Milwaukee.
Here's
Bucks.
One from BJ. Tweets at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Hang that banner. Self-promotion is necessary. The Bucks haven't done this in almost 2 decades.
Yes.
Congrats, Bucks. Step one complete. Now get that one seed and win a playoff series. Why are fans acting like we are above celebrating this?
That's what it feels like.
We aren't the Spurs.
That's what you want to be.
Yes.
At some point, or Golden State.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But the Spurs had to get to this point, too. They couldn't just walk into an NBA Finals, walk into the NBA playoffs, and be a champion.
Right.
You have to grow. And even the Spurs, in that same vein, they did it the right way. They had a franchise player. He got hurt. Then they got another number one pick, and then they got that superstar. The Bucks had to do it in kind of a crapshoot. And how you got Giannis, you got him at the 15th pick. And I understand the seeding portion of this conversation too, Sparty. We talked about it enough on this show. Is you hold on to that number one seed, you eliminate the opportunity that you have to play either Toronto or Philadelphia
right
in that second round, which
yep.
is huge.
Sure. But if you hold on to that one seed and Boston ends up with a four, and Boston's at its home court against Indiana, I don't think Indiana has a prayer. It's over. If Indiana has home court against Boston, and Boston's the five and Indiana's the four, I think it becomes a much more difficult series for Boston. Maybe I'm giving Indiana too much credit for being at home, but for me, that four seed, if Boston's at home, I just don't see there's any way they lose to Indiana. If it goes the other way, I think Indiana might have a shot at it.
Now, let me ask this question, too, and this all encompasses into the conversation of what does the regular season, I guess, mean in the NBA. But, Sparky, we're hearing from a lot of people that they don't believe the division title means anything.
Right.
What about the counting stats of wins? A 60-win mark. You're 8 wins away
yeah.
on a 10 with 10 games left. Does that mean more to a fan, being able to say, well, we had a 60-win club instead of, well, we won the Eastern Conference Central that
when they got,
people don't like.
When they got their 50th win, social media was pretty much on fire with everybody celebrating the fact that they got 50 wins.
Yep.
So I think the fan base, I think it means more for them for 50 wins. 60 wins would be unbelievable. I think everybody would lose their minds if they got to 60 wins.
When last time they got to 60, you know?
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you.
73-74, I
before
believe.
Before I was alive. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Nick tweets at the Fan, it's awesome. I love it. Been a fan since I was a young kid back in the early 90s. I'll take that division championship and a banner. I mean, why not?
A shirt.
This is fun.
Hey,
let's go, Bucks.
And a hat. I'm going to get all of it. I'm going with
this.
I want a shirt. I'm waiting until they bring out the sweatshirts.
So tell me something.
I want a cotton shirt.
Now, again,
I got to go with that dry fit because it covers up my sweat every once in a while.
If the Bucks are on top of this like the Brewers are, tonight you'll have Central Division winning shirts and hats
chair.
At the game.
In your chair.
Or in whatever. I mean, you don't have to give them away, but they'll at least be in the arena to buy tonight when they take on the Heat.
That too, but
if you go to the game tonight and there's no merchandise for winning the Central Division, then they screwed up.
Big time.
They
had the tweets out with the pictures and the ability to buy them last night.
I'm going to make them spend some money, but in every chair, there should be a towel that says it.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I'm good with that. Sure.
Okay. Now, now, but you really want to play in the big leagues, and we can talk about making a statement and some of the social media loves. You really want to play in the big leagues. First round of the playoffs, everybody's got the same shirt hanging on their seat. I mean, that's really when you're messing, that's when you're messing around in the playoffs.
That's spending money.
But it's not my
But I will tell you this. Today on Instagram, the Bucks Instagram page, they've got it all over the place.
Oh, they're ready to go.
Yeah. So they should have acknowledged it.
Because we've talked to Peter Fagan how many times on this show? The guy's a smart businessman.
Yeah.
Kind of like Jason over at J&J Contractors.
Yeah, my good friends at J&J. Yeah, great guys. Guys, you're looking for livable space in your house. My good friends at J&J Contractors can make that happen for you. If you're looking to do something to your interior, your home, like your kitchen cabinets, your countertops, bathroom, right, doing these dual sinks right now. They're doing these granite tops and all this kind of, I mean, my good friends at showers, add a new bathroom onto it, add another livable space, or create something downstairs in your basement, man cave, playroom. Right now, it's starting to get warm. If you want to do something outside of your house, you can do like a.
It is darty season.
Outdoor oasis with
the. It is darty season.
Fireplace, cigar outside.
It's what?
Darty season.
Darty.
What is that?
Day party.
Yeah.
There's a few different hobbies that I have.
Yeah.
Darty.
Oh yeah, darty.
Darty. Day drinking.
Tell them what time darty starts.
Drinking during the day.
Tell them what time darty starts.
I know when day drinking, but I don't know what dartying
is. When the sun comes up.
Yeah, darty.
So like you're outside partying.
Yeah.
That's straight.
Flip cup. Anything.
Bloody Mary right away.
Yeah, right away.
Is that a Wisconsin thing?
Maybe I mean, we're not really
into. It's a Whitnall thing.
I'm not really into the Bloody Mary in the morning. If I'm going to do anything and we're really dartying, it's going to be a tequila sunrise and just start it all up.
Dartying.
I do a Bloody Mary, but I don't like the Bloody.
No.
I don't like the thick Bloody Mary mix. I got to do that with the Clamato or whatever that is. I got to do it with that.
But you got to go with a little bit of heat. There's got to be a little bit of
kick. Yeah, well,
a
little bit, but, you know, I got indigestion a little bit. So, with that, was it Clamato? What is it? Clamato?
Sure.
Clamato?
You're asking Clamato, the wrong dude, man.
Somebody call and tell me what kind it is. I won't say something else to get me real wrong, but it's that one disease or something like that. Try to stay away from that one.
I know exactly what
you
that
what I'm talking about.
I know what that one is.
But
yes,
this kind of Bloody Mary mix, baby Tosh, is thinner.
Okay.
I don't like the thick one. You can only have one and make you full.
No. If I'm gonna have a couple. Just like if you're coming out here to Element Lounge, you're gonna have a couple.
Which gets me back to my good friends at J&J Contractors. When you build your outdoor oasis, make sure you have a nice Bloody Mary in the morning when the suns come up. As for my good friend Jason at J&J Contract.
You know what a great day to darty is,
What's
Sparky?
That?
Is Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
But now Sparky has a complaint. He's got a beef with NFL Thanksgiving. And really, it made some sense to me when you brought it up to us this morning. He's going to bring it up to you next. Wendy's Big Show live from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street. $4 Grey Goose, $4 Bacardi, $4 Cazadores, $2 beers, $5 wing baskets, and there's just a plethora of wings behind us that we're going to dive into as Anthony Mandela gives you a sports flash, and we're back. Wendy's Big Show live from Element Lounge on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street, hanging out here with the Bacardi Babes. $4 Grey Goose, Bacardi, Cazadores, $2 beers, $3 imports. It's the Wendy's Big Show on a college basketball Friday. We got some scores for you right now. Gary Ellerson was penciling in his brackets and seeing if he had some W's earlier during the break. Well, that was before you started just getting into those Jamaican jerk wings. We got the whole buffet back here. Now, I was poking around at each one to make sure that I knew which one I was going to go with for my second order.
Right.
But we got the Element sauce, Gary, which is something lethal. I mean, like, I had one boneless of the Element sauce.
Right.
And I had my water. I took a sip, and I was like, oh, that's hot. And then all of a sudden it got real sweet. I was like, okay, hold on.
Look at you.
Let me get one more. And then I ate the whole thing. So I apologize if you guys wanted to try the Element sauce, it's gone, so.
That's okay.
Okay. All right. We can always order more up. You can too. $5 wing baskets out here at Element College Basketball Friday. Come hang out with the Wendy's Big Show and get some drinks and cut out on work. I mean, come on.
Hey,
if there's a better day to cut out on work, I'd like to know which one it is.
Virginia going to lose again as a one seed?
They could.
It's not going to happen again.
Come on. Don't wish that upon them.
They're down 12 to Gardner Webb already.
Oh, come on.
Just still first half?
8 minutes to go in the first quarter.
And the worst part about this is, and I know you guys don't feel my pain on this, but they don't even offer a money line on this. I mean, like, I just saw Virginia last year go down to UMBC. How can I not put some action on Gardner Webb getting that W?
Speaking of you, how you feel about Syracuse?
Not great. Yeah, no.
Have you touched anything that actually is not lost?
I had the under or the over last night in the Wofford Seton Hall game.
That's a good one.
That was my only W yesterday. Yeah.
It was a
slow day for the show, Bob. But
well, I think it was more slow.
We're bouncing back. We got some parlay action going right now. We'll have a little bit more later on. We got the nightcap today. We got the whole weekend. There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of money. Still.
You're going to Nashville, and you need money to like partake.
Well, that's why I was trying to win a couple. Quick.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I was just trying to win a couple of dollars quick. I mean, you know, just a little something extra, a little pocket change. Another great day for sports gambling is Thanksgiving.
That is true.
Three football games. You get the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, down at Jerry World. You get the Detroit Lions, one of Gary Ellerson's former teams, at Ford Field. And then you get one special game at night, which now they've made into a three-game event per day. But, Sparky, you're thinking that there's a possibility that they should be making some changes to this.
Well, the Eagles threw out for their rule change or what they want to see changed, and since they've withdrawn it, that they'd like to see Detroit and Dallas rotate home games every year. So Detroit and Dallas can play every year on Thanksgiving, but maybe 1 year Detroit's in Green Bay, Dallas is at home. The next year, Detroit is at home, Dallas is in Washington. Something along those lines to give other cities a chance outside of one city every year on Thanksgiving to get a home game outside of Detroit and Dallas, which I didn't mind that at all necessarily. But for me, and I'm not a millennial like you, but there's no reason to have Detroit playing on Thanksgiving Day at all. None. None whatsoever. They're horrible. They've been horrible. They've always been horrible. I don't understand why you would subject anybody having to watch these fools play year in and year out on Thanksgiving. If anything, you should reward those teams that go to the Super Bowl the previous year. So, look, if you're in the Super Bowl the previous year, you both get a home game on Thanksgiving the following year. That's just part of the deal. You've already got part of the deal for the first game of the year normally. Now, not this year. It doesn't look like it. Looks like Packers-Bears this year on Thursday night. But normally it's having to do with the Super Bowl winner gets to come back the following year. If I am the NFL, that's what I do. Throw it out there as a little bit of a nugget. Do you think NFL teams want to play at Thanksgiving?
Well, let me just
tell
you
this. Home game, Gary?
I played in that. So maybe you can look this up, Baby Tiles. We played I was playing for the Lions. We played the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here, two of the worst teams in the NFL that year. I mean, we were bad. Horrible.
They were too.
They were too. Horrible.
Who was their quarterback?
I don't even remember, but he can probably look some of this stuff up. Right?
Hold on. We got to get
they
the
brought in.
Here.
That was before DeBerg, right?
I don't – yeah. They brought in Merlin Olsen.
Oh, yeah.
Came in. Because I think he was called and came in.
Yep.
They had this guy come in do like a psych eval on the team to like get inside of these because we were having such a bad year.
Would this have been 87?
Was it 87? Was it Kansas City, Detroit?
Kansas City, Detroit?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving,
87? Pull up the line on that.
Yeah. It was a 27-20 Kansas City Chiefs victory over the Detroit Lions at the Pontiac Silverdome.
Oh, we didn't win? The Lions didn't win?
And no, you guys did. You guys didn't win. You guys
sure?
Both teams were 2-9.
Yeah, how about that? So they brought this guy
with furthers my point.
Psych valve evaluation in to understand the thinking of guys that we were so bad and wanted to play on this particular day. What did I do something?
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Did I do something?
Oh, yeah, you did do something.
But we lost.
Did do something. Yeah, you scored the last 10-yard touchdown catch.
Yeah, it didn't mean that we lost.
Your boy Chuck Long.
Oh, was Chuck Long playing that game?
This is outstanding.
Who was the quarterback for Kansas City?
Yeah, look and see who that was.
Well, the quarterback for Kansas City would have been Bill Kenny.
Don't know him.
Don't even remember Bill Kenny.
Don't know
him. I mean, had a nice little
who
day.
Who was the running back they had?
18 for 26.
Kansas City.
Herman Hurd.
Yeah, I remember
Christian Okoye.
Yeah, oh, that big joke. Yeah, the nightmare.
Paul Palmer, yeah. Bill Kenny, and Carlos Carson. Those all sound like the made-up names that you have on, like, Madden. Like, you make the team, and it's like, Bill
Steve,
Kenny starting at strong safety.
There was no real buzz, and they had to create some buzz around this. So I get what you're saying. That's why I'm referring back. Around this Thanksgiving game to try to make it
now,
good for people to go to try to watch.
But I also know one other thing.
Crazy.
Because you've talked about this on the air before and people may have missed it. But this really is kind of like their Super Bowl every year. Like, these
it
people
is.
Like plan Detroit, their football season around that game.
Detroit loves to have this game. It's a tradition. That's why I would say don't move it. Leave it like it is. It's a huge tradition amongst the folks in Detroit. They would lose their natural mind if they
But I'll give you something else. Let's say they
the
keep,
players don't like playing on Thanksgiving.
Let's say they keep the stupid game, right? Then rotate Detroit and Dallas into the night game and let somebody else play in one of the day slots. So instead of me having
well,
to get stuck
watching.
Well,
how many games we got on Thanksgiving now?
Three. So instead of having me get stuck watching Detroit at 11:30, let me watch a good game at 11:30 and put Detroit at night.
Yeah, you could. Yeah,
and just
could.
Rotate them because right now they both slot in the same time slot every year.
That's how it
Detroit's
is.
Early, Dallas is late, and then you get whatever
in
night.
Between.
And I've definitely remembered in the last 10 years, Sparky, to your point, there were like three straight years Detroit played Indianapolis with Peyton Manning, got trounced. Yeah. Then Tom Brady and the Patriots came there, got shellacked. And it's over by the third quarter.
Right. And the other thing, too, is this. If you don't want to do Super Bowl teams, then do fan bases. So Green Bay, Pittsburgh, New England, like those three fan bases, along with Dallas, obviously, have huge fan bases.
Yes.
Even the Bears. Use those big fan bases and make them one of the other teams that
you
play
could.
In the other slot in another game.
Steelers, Ravens. You got a lot of different bases that you could do. You had five carries for 43 yards.
That's what
I was
looking for.
Yeah, five carries, 43 yards.
I was touching five times?
Three catches.
Oh, I caught the ball, too?
16 yards.
Oh, Jesus.
And a 10-yard touchdown.
Yeah,
you had a nice little 33-yard scamper in there, though.
Yeah.
That was one of those touches.
Yeah.
Were you not on the media guide that year? Couldn't get
no, they didn't put one on me. You got
you couldn't.
Year.
You couldn't tell me. Give me the football.
No, Detroit was that. I was glad to get a check. That was the worst. That was horrible. I mean, I went from Green Bay, where a guy was just screaming and yelling at you all the time, to
Wayne Fonz,
where do what you want.
Yeah. I'm going to smoke my cigar.
No way.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Guys were in practice, dude, sitting on their helmet smoking a cigarette in practice, dude. I'm like, what is this?
So you went
Forrest from. Forrest lost his natural damn mind.
So you went from what we saw Tom Izzo do yesterday?
Right.
Yeah. Went from that to whatever. I mean.
Did you call back to your guys' agreement? Like, you are not going to believe what I got going on.
What these guys are doing right now,
right? Guys. Right.
These guys, hey, man. And we were, and here's the thing, because they were just really Detroit was really second fiddle at that time because that's when the Pistons were winning, and they were playing the.
Oh, that was the bad boys days.
Yeah, that was the bad boy days. Mm-hmm. So when we come out of the locker room, the Pistons had that whole. I mean, we only had maybe 40 yards, 30 yards of field because they had the bigger part of the dome. For the basketball teams, where we had to share space, so we didn't have a whole lot of space. It was all about the Pistons. We were just like a
afterthought.
We were a Triple-A team or something. I mean, we were
the intramural Lions.
Right. I mean, they had everything because we had nothing, absolutely nothing. It was all about the Pistons.
Well, you know that can happen. That can happen. But it's all good. The Lions The Lions will have their day. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't.
I don't know if Patricia can do it.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know about that either. Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks going at it later on tonight. We talked to Jason Jackson, 15-year vet as a television host, courtside reporter for the Miami Heat on Fox Sports Sun. Joins the Wendy's Big Show next. We're live here from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. From Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM dial. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch out here till 6 o'clock watching college basketball with you right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We welcome in from Fox Sports Sun and the Miami Heat, courtside reporter and television host Jason Jackson to the Wendy's Big Show. Jason, appreciate the time, man.
Man, I'm trying to pick up my pace, get my act together. As well as you knocked out my resume, I'm a huge Reds fan, so... You know, we got this National League Central thing we're doing, and we just designated for assignment like our young star, and my heart hurts because baseball does this ridiculous thing with the 2 weeks, and you save the year, and it's so ridiculous. But that's not what you called for, so I'm locked in. I'm ready now.
Well, hold on. Since you brought up the Reds, but you stole our pitching coach, who was beloved here in Milwaukee, Derek Johnson.
We more than stole him. I mean, we came in the night with a – with a Mayflower van. It was ridiculous.
With a big bag of money. That's what y'all did. You came with a big bag of money, and he said, "Yes, sir, I'll follow you. Where are we going?"
Amen.
And
I'm
it just
not
happened
sorry
to be
it.
Cincinnati. No, you shouldn't be sorry about it. Hey, D. Wade coming back to Milwaukee tonight. I know there's going to be a lot of people in that building tonight to possibly see D. Wade for the last time. Now, it may end up being Bucks Heat in the playoffs in the first round. Don't know, but he obviously beloved here from his time in Marquette. Your thoughts, having covered Wade his whole career in Miami?
This has been so special, guys. It is. I was talking with the coaching staff this morning as we're standing, you know, right there in Fiserv Forum, and every media member in the world and this part of the world was there to get Dwayne's opening thoughts on wrapping up this chapter. And it's been wonderful. Like I cringe even saying the phrase next year and what that'll mean and how different it will be, because everywhere we've gone, sea to shining sea and north of the border, it's just been this glorious roar of appreciation and love for the way that he's played this game and what he's been able to accomplish. And that in an era where everything's at your fingertips and you can be distracted, that each of these organizations in their own way have stepped up and thanked him for his contribution, even though many of those organizations wanted to beat his face in every time he was on the floor.
Right.
So that I loved about this process. Some people kind of rolled their eyes with the retirement tour. That's not what this has been. This has been an appreciation tour, and it's been fantastic to be a part of. And tonight's going to be special. What I've noticed around the NBA is that, you know, there's a lot of three jerseys and has been for years. I think we're going to see some blue and some gold three jerseys tonight. That'll be a little different
for sure
than our Miami Heat array of jerseys, which I'm sure there'll be a few of those too.
You know, the thing about this, too, though, Jason, still feels like he is playing basketball at a high level.
It's phenomenal.
I mean, it's not like Dirk. I mean, you look at Dirk, you know he's
done. It hurts your body to watch Dirk do it. Yeah, no,
it does. But you look at D-Wade, it just still feels like he's got something left in the tank.
He could, in this role, as the team's top reserve, he could probably play in this role for another 5 years. But he knows. And that is what you got to respect. If you know it and you get to call that shot and they're not rolling you off the floor or your phone's not ringing because nobody wants to sign you to a contract, you have nailed the timing. And he is fully aware of where he wants to be as it pertains to family, as it pertains to business, and he's crushing it. Listen, we all, when you get a second, thank Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul. Because I learned in coverage during All-Star Weekend, these were the guys that got in his ear and said, if not for you, play for us one more time. Because we've got to see you do this one more time in a space where you are in the second season and having some awesome love spread all over this NBA association for you. And so I thank those guys and glad that Dwayne listened.
You know, Jason, can you talk a little bit about, because there was a breakup, a split in marriage between D-Wade and Pat Riley. How did
I don't even know what you're referring to. What do you mean?
Yeah. How did it all come to be, and how did they make that right again?
Yeah, let me tell you the right part, because it comes to be because of just time and pride and things that each side could probably regret and be so happy that they're on the other side of. And, you know, I think Dwayne, over a few years, felt like he had done everything that he could from a financial standpoint and a flexibility standpoint. The organization felt like they did everything they could by going out and using those opportunities to get Dwayne the players around him that would lead to the fantastic run we had for 4 years as an organization. And then when it came to the reckoning, where we all have these things in our relationships, both professional and personal, the two sides weren't seeing eye to eye, and that led to 18 months. I call it in the wilderness. I'm sure Dwayne sees it differently, but the coming together was such a beautiful story because it all centered around the passing of Henry Thomas, Dwayne's longtime agent. And Henry represented a series of Miami Heat players, Dwayne, Udonis Haslem, Chris Bosh. And so Henry was really a part of the Miami Heat family. So his passing created such pain and longing and loss. But when the principal parties all together at Henry's funeral, from heaven, that man cut one more deal. He got Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade in the same space in a vulnerable feeling, and I think that was the launching point for his return to Miami.
Talking with Jason Jackson, Miami Heat courtside reporter, Fox Sports Sun as well. And Jason, talk about some of the younger players on this Miami Heat team that have them in that eighth seed. One guy that I really just love watching play is Justice Winslow for sure.
Yeah, he was given the responsibility to be the primary ball handler, distributor, the starter of offense. He came into this game out of Duke 4 years ago as a high-end elite defender. Injury and typical young player growth probably got in the way of his offensive game elevating, but, man, Spo decided when Goran Dragic went down back in December, let's get this multifaceted, he likes to call him Swiss Army knife type player, at the tip of the spear and give him the keys and let's see what happens. And it was genius. It opened up Justice in so many different ways. And it wasn't going to be 20-point scoring nights, but it would be 15 to 18 along with double-digit rebounds and double-digit assists. And that's massive in this space. And unfortunately, he is dealing with a thigh injury and hasn't played the last few games, won't play tonight. But he's been absolutely instrumental in this push of the last 12 to 20 games. Bam Adebayo has been off the charts. He started the last 12. He'll actually start tonight, even though he was injured at the end of that victory in San Antonio. And what he is, again, not a guy that you necessarily count on for 20 points, but you do count on him for a boatload of rebounds, and he is a wonderful conduit through which offense runs. He is a guy that on most nights is somewhere between 4 and 6 assists from the center position, and it just gives such a different wrinkle. When everybody was, I mean, absolutely gassed in San Antonio, the perimeter players were just barely getting to the finish line. All the offense ran through Bam, ran through the five, and he got them down the stretch to a victory that most probably didn't think was available on the road. So he's been fun to watch. And there'll be a high flyer tonight. Check out number 5, Derrick Jones Jr., former G League player that he grabbed last year as the Suns off of their G League roster and brought him in, signed him to a full NBA deal. And again, you understand defense is first, and then the offense is always going to be attacking and downhill. And if he catches one on the fly, be careful. Be careful.
Yeah.
He will wreck the rim. And he's a part of this kind of core group along with Justice Winslow, and I still believe Hassan Whiteside in that group that has been so important. And we've pushed him to the front line basically saying, you know what, you guys are not young anymore. It's time to impact these games because of injury or age, minute restriction or the way that you're, dealing with Dwayne, whatever the case may be, you guys are up front now. Go get it.
And you brought up Hassan Whiteside because that's where I wanted to go next. Like I don't quite understand like what this dude's all about. I mean, he came out of the NBA draft, didn't live up to expectations, and then kind of remade himself and became the guy that got the big contract with the Miami Heat. Now, once again here in the last couple of years, seems to be up and down with Hassan Whiteside depending on what game it is and what day of the week it is. Is it just lack of focus for him, or what is it?
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know, and I watch him every single night. What I do know is that he's extremely important to the team's success. When he is playing at a high motor consistently on both ends of the floor, he's one of the most incredible players in the game. And just at that size, with his skills and those hands and his ability and desire to protect at the rim, it's a continual message to make sure Hassan knows that he is a key component to the success. Now, he's in the second group now, coming back off of injury. And that first group that was doing the work when Goran and Hassan were injured, Coach Bolster's not changing that group. They've been playing extremely well. So I'm going to give Hassan credit because a lot of guys in his position as a max guy and as the number one five would throw a fit, coming back from injury, not getting your old post back. But what Spoelstra's done, and I think what he's made plain to everybody and what Hassan has bought in on, is that we're already in the playoffs. The Miami Heat started playoff games 20 games ago, trying to make sure that they get into the postseason. And he's staying with the group that is hot. What it allows, though, is a crazy, uneasy, probably not so much tonight, but you'll see it in other games, an uneasy and difficult matchup when it's Dwayne Wade, Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson and Goran Dragic in that second group coming at you, all guys who have started for this team over the last couple of years.
I listen to Jason Jackson on NBA radio from time to time. Obviously, we see him on DirecTV if you got League Pass or whatever, watching the NBA. And having covered the LeBron and the Bosch and the Wade teams and all of that and you know, going to the NBA Finals, I got a question for you. Because here in Milwaukee, they win the division last night due to the Bucks. And before you came on, we were doing the topic, you know, is it a big deal to you? And seemingly, most of the people do not care about winning the division title. They haven't won a division in this town since 2001. How big of a deal was it in Miami when they first got that first division championship with LeBron and those guys?
Yeah, it kind of had that same vibe. But that's when you're in that rarefied air, and the Bucks are there. You know, you can kind of do the shoulder shrug on some things. I would caution the fan base of stuff. When it's gone, it's terrible. So enjoy every little box you can check as you go through this process. This ball club looks like they have everything they need to battle the very best in the East and then deal with whoever comes out of the West, which is going to be difficult. Whoever gets the nod, if it's the Warriors again or a team gets past the Warriors, you know that's a hell of a ball club that you're going to have to deal with if the Bucks are fortunate enough to get through the Eastern side of the tournament. I think that for teams like Miami, when you're thinking about chief tiebreakers, when you're in that nip and tuck space, it's that division title that gets you the first tiebreaker when you're in a three-way tie to the second tiebreaker in a two-team tiebreaker. So it's important in different spaces, and I can appreciate Bucks fans not necessarily popping the champagne over it, but let's not just glaze over it like it's nothing.
Jason, appreciate the time, man, and one more final time. I really don't want to see Dwayne Wade in the NBA playoffs. I can tell you that much right now. I loved watching him at Marquette. I want to say goodbye to him tonight, have a great send-off at Fiserv Forum, and then
let
not Toronto have to see him
still leaving with it. I got you. I feel
yeah,
you
let anybody else deal with D-Wade in the send-off tour in the playoffs. But a lot of Marquette number 3 jerseys going to be out there tonight, and we appreciate the time. As always, whenever you can carve out a couple minutes for us on the Wendy's Big Show, Jason.
A pleasure. Guys, have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight.
You too. Thank you very much. That's Jason Jackson, a television host and courtside reporter for the Miami Heat and Fox Sports Sun. Also, Sirius NBA Radio joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, simply local common sense lending for your community since 1935. Wendy's Big Show live at Element Lounge. We're out here for 3 more hours. College Basketball Friday. We got $4 Grey Goose, $4 Bacardi, $4 Cazadores. And as somebody that enjoys all 3 of those, Sparky,
right?
Those are very, very good deals that you really can't afford to pass up.
You know.
I know, yes, because I've paid quite more
than that. Kind of an expert on it.
Yeah, you could say
kind
that.
Kind of an expert.
Yeah, kind of an expert.
Good.
I also could call myself a wing expert after I've been dabbling into all the different types of wings you can get out here. $5 wing baskets. We got the Element Sauce, Buffalo, Honey Barbecue, the Garlic Parmesan is just decadent. Come on out here. $5 wing baskets and drinks. And the Badgers are going to be starting up here in about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. A lot of time for you. 618 North Water Street at Element Lounge. Wendy's Big Show right here on The Fan. Back after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.